Welcome to the Clubhouse Chatter Podcast presented by Hercules Tires. I'm your host, Scott Manzi, excited for today's conversation as I am joined by 2015 A-Sun Pitcher of the Year, Michael Bauman. He is currently on the Baltimore Orioles taxi squad, which means he is one of the players who is eligible to get called up to the major league squad if the situation were to arise where the Orioles would need him over the course of the next 2 months in the abbreviated 60-game Major League Baseball season. He was the 2015 A-Sun Pitcher of the Year, as I mentioned, as a true freshman, hails from Matamidi, Minnesota originally. He's one of my favorite guys I have ever covered. So humble. He is a pleasure. Sometimes it's hard to get him to open up a little bit about himself, but it's been awesome watching him grow and develop and turn into a bona fide borderline major league pitcher here sooner rather than later, hopefully. Can't wait to see him hopefully make his major league debut at some point this season. But it was great catching up with him. Most recently was a member of the AA Bowie Bay Sox last season, the 2019 season, threw a no-hitter a little over a year ago today as well, and was just recently named to the A-Sun Baseball All-Decade Team. And by recently, I mean just today, Thursday, July the 30th, that happened. So a great guy, a great Dolphin, and a great conversation with him coming up on today's episode of the Clubhouse Chatter Podcast.
Runner at third base, two outs. Ray Gonzalez at the plate working against Michael Bauman, who's trying to close out his eighth inning of work. Tie a career long in innings. He has already set a career high in pitches thrown. Slider just misses low, and it's 2-0. Infield playing deep, trying to cut off all gaps up the middle and to the sides. Outfield shading Gonzalez to the left side. A two-hopper to short from the edge of the outfield grass. Jelila the long throw, and Michael Bauman has gone eight. And his Jacksonville Dolphin team is still out in front as we head to the bottom of the eighth here in DeLand. 6-5, Jacksonville leads. Bauman matching a career high on the mound.
Joined now by Michael Bauman, former Jacksonville University pitcher, the big right-hander known affectionately around these parts as Big Mike, from joining me from up in Bowie, where he's a member of the Baltimore Orioles taxi squad this year for this truly bizarre Major League Baseball season, but it is underway and we're glad to see it. And hopefully, you know, we'll get a chance to see Mike pitch into the big leagues at some point this year. But Mike, thanks for joining me here today.
Yeah, Scott, thanks for having me on here.
It's you. I led it off by talking about how you're one of my favorite guys. I mean, I try not to pick favorites because, you know, I like everybody that I've covered equally, if I'm being diplomatic. But you were just a special guy coming through JU. Your family, your mom telling the stories about how she used to have little gatherings every night you pitched to listen to the broadcast, things like that. And that was fun. That was unique. I mean, can we just start off with how a guy from Matamidi, Minnesota, ends up down in Jacksonville, Florida, and started this journey to where you are now?
Yeah, it all started with the old head coach for JU, Tim Montes. You know, him and the coaches there had a nice pipeline up there in Minnesota and Wisconsin, and I think Hayes has done a pretty good job of keeping that. And so, you know, it's just he'd go up to Minnesota, Wisconsin every summer, try and find some guys, and you know, he knew I didn't play baseball year round. I think he liked the idea that, you know, I had less miles on my arm. So, you know, honestly, I'd never really heard of Jacksonville University or knew much about the city itself. So, you know, once he got me down there to take a visit, and, you know, I never looked back. So I for sure feel like I made the right choice.
You're like, I don't have to shovel snow and can play all the time. That sounds great. Sign me up.
I know. Honestly, I didn't even think of, you know, how great it would be to get down to Florida just because I didn't know anything different. So once I got down there and realized throwing in January outside is pretty great, you know, it made the difference. It's a different world down in Florida, that's for sure.
The kind of the period from when you got on campus your freshman year, going through fall ball to where you eventually end up as the Friday night starter as a freshman and you win Pitcher of the Year in the league in 2015. What happened for you that kind of allowed all of that to materialize over the course of those months?
Well, I think, like I said, you know, getting down there, it's a different world. And it was really the first time I was on a sports-specific lifting schedule, you know, a solid throwing program, and, you know, just being around some of the older guys and learning from them, you know, I think they really helped me take my game to the next level. And by spring, it was just time to go throw the ball over the plate and see what happens.
What's the biggest thing between then, when it seemed like you were just up there, you kind of discovered some velocity, you were up there just filling the zone with fastball strikes. Where have you grown the most as a pitcher since you really started off your career at JU? Maybe even going back to when you were in high school and you were just starting to figure this thing out.
I think, well, you know, it's the same game. Baseball is the same game. It's still 60 feet, 6 inches. So I try to keep that mindset. But, you know, I think the biggest thing over time is just getting feel for how my body works, what I'm doing, how I attack hitters, and, you know, consistency. You know, that's one of the biggest things with baseball and being able to repeat your delivery and throw strikes, go out there, execute. You know, that's something I'm continuing to work on, but I think it's gotten better, especially since high school. So, yeah, it's that and then fine-tuning some secondary pitches.
You were a two-sport athlete in high school, right? You played football as well?
Yeah, and then I played some rec basketball, if you want to count that. The dream team. It was a church league, but it was a good time.
We'll call it 2.5-sport athlete then at that point. How would you describe your football career?
I don't know. There's not much to say about it. I was a two-way lineman, offense and defensive lineman, and I loved it. I loved going out there and just trying to smack the person in front of me. And, you know, it's just kind of you had one job and you had to execute it. And, you know, hopefully the 10 guys behind you did the same thing.
Is there anything to the physicality of football, to especially playing on the lines, that you've been able to take and apply to your career now as a pitcher?
Yeah, I think that mindset of, you know, trying to bury a guy, help him out, and then next time you see him, try and bury him again. So, you know, it's just kind of knock someone down, help them back up, and then try and knock them down again. So, you know, I love that kind of mindset, and just kind of taking it over to the baseball field, you know, just pitch after pitch, just like in football, play after play, you want to go out there and bury someone.
What do you have? Maybe one would be a real hard thing to dial it down to, but do you have a couple of memories that stand out from your time in a Dolphin uniform?
I mean, there were so many. Just being with the guys 24/7, it felt like. And, you know, we had some tough workouts and just going through road trips. You know, you go through a lot together, and, you know, just you really grow a bond, and it was really a family feel. So I remember just coming in as a freshman and, you know, seeing the guys like, I mean, there's so many, but guys like Angelo Mendolare, Austin Hayes, JJ Gould, Justin Russell, you know, they really established a culture there. So, you know, with their work ethic and going out there and really living in the moment, and, you know, it's something that always kind of stuck with me. So, you know, that kind of culture just kind of made it feel like home, and it made me want to go out there and, you know, kind of be just like them and look up to those guys. But, you know, memory wise, I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
I've got some memories that stand out about you. That your last ever appearance for JU in the conference tournament, you threw well over 100 pitches. You went 8 innings, I believe it was, in the conference tournament against UNF. It was just one of those where you fell behind early, you battled back, you just kept pitching, and it just, you kept getting guys out. It was something else. It was a real bulldog mentality, part of a special year, that 2017 year, winning the regular season championship and getting oh so close to a regional appearance and a conference tournament championship. But I mean, knowing What's it like to pitch in kind of that conference tournament setup versus when you're in a regular season and you're kind of living for the next time out, the next chance?
Yeah, I mean, everything you work for, everything you pitch for, you know, every game matters during the regular season. But once you get to the tournament, it's like everything goes out the window. You got to win every game. You know, it's feast and famine, you know, survive and advance type mentality. So if you don't win, you go home. And I remember going out that game, I let up 5 runs in the first 2 innings. And, you know, I could have thought to myself, you know, hey, this is going to be a short game for you. This could be your last game ever. And, you know, I wasn't going to let that happen. And, you know, I just kind of stuck with it. The adrenaline kept building, you know, in between after each inning. So, and I was just lucky enough that the hitters, the guys behind me, you know, they really stepped up and came back and ended up being one of the most special games of my career.
There's a little folklore surrounding that 2017 season from all the guys I've talked to that were involved in it. Everybody seems to have a different story or something from as to how that team put it together, because you did not start off particularly well that year. And at one point it just clicked and ran right through conference play. Do you have a memory that stands out from that season as to when you all were able to come together and start to find it out on the field?
Yeah, I feel like things started to click right after we played West Virginia. It was a spring break series up in West Virginia. And, you know, leading up to that point, we knew we had all the talent. We knew we were doing all the right things. And, you know, we knew we just had to, like, stick with it and keep battling, keep grinding every at-bat, every pitch. And, you know, eventually good things would happen. So, you know, we never gave up, and that was the biggest thing. And once the conference part of the schedule hit, we were ready to go. And, you know, we knew we had the talent, and we knew we could do something special.
Yeah, that was a fun season to be a part of. From my perspective, I know most of the players that I've talked to have loved it too. When did you realize that you had the ability to get drafted?
Probably, you know, after my freshman year, things started to kind of sink in. Say, hey, if you really want to pursue a career in baseball, you got to start taking things seriously and, you know, going out there and taking it day by day and really, you know, putting baseball first.
Putting baseball first as a student athlete. I mean, how do you find a way to strike that balance? Because you already kind of hinted at how just the difference in college athletics versus high school athletics, how much more specified everything is, how much more year-round everything is. But where were you able to find the way to emphasize both sides of the coin?
I think just that's something where the academic office just was really able to help, and even having your teammates being able to help you, you know, the older guys really just kind of helping guide you and giving you a little push in the right direction. Because we had a lot of smart guys on the team. We had a really solid GPA. So, you know, I think guys were really able to help each other out in the classroom and, you know, through study hall and tutoring, you know, it really made things a lot easier.
You get drafted third round by the Baltimore Orioles in the 2017 draft. You sign. What was kind of your welcome to pro baseball moment, if you will?
I think it was – so I spent my first two weeks in Florida, down in Sarasota, and then I made my debut in short season A-ball up in Aberdeen, Maryland. And I remember I came in, I relieved that game through an inning, I think, maybe an inning or two, and just pitching in front of 4,000, 5,000 fans, it was like, oh, wow, this is pretty fun. Get used to this. So, you know, I think being able to get my feet wet in that kind of situation, it was a nice little welcome to the next level.
You've worked your way up over the course of the last several seasons. You pitched at AA last year with the Bowie Bay Sox. And just about a year ago, in fact, you throw a no-hitter. And can you get back into that mindset and remember what that night was like as you were working through the throes of a no-no?
Yeah, honestly, it was just it was just another day. You know, nothing felt, you know, unbelievably different than any other start night. And in fact, I remember going out there and walking the first guy of the game. And but eventually I got in a groove, probably like the second, third, fourth inning. And, you know, the other pitcher was actually going out there and matching me. I don't think there's a hit for the first 5 innings. So that was kind of like, that was just what was getting me going, just thinking about, hey, you got to go out there and match this guy. And then, you know, once that sixth, seventh inning hit, it was like, all right, things started getting a little blurry. And then it's like, all right, we'll see where this goes. You know, you could do something special. You got nothing to lose, really. I mean, a no-hitter, but, you know, it's not like I go out there and expect that to happen. So I think the best part about it was going out there in the ninth and just feeling the rush, the adrenaline, and then that last pitch hit. It was like, holy cow, this was unbelievable.
How do you manage that adrenaline? Because it has to be out of control in a ninth inning like that. Because, I mean, you know what you're pitching for at that point.
Yeah, so later on in the game, the last two, three innings, it's just telling myself, like, hey, you can do this. You got this. Just keep doing what you're doing and really kind of settling myself down and, you know, really just trying to keep the ball over the plate, because the last thing I wanted to do was to pitch around guys and walk them, give them free bases, and get myself in trouble.
That was a fun thing to follow along. Saw it on Twitter kind of developing over the course of the night. And next thing you know, it's like, Big Mike, all right. You were a guy when you took the ball for JU. I felt like that was a potential. Like I might see a record set in strikeouts that night, or I might see a no-hitter. I mean, there are certain guys, they get the baseball and you feel like something special might happen. I always felt like it was that way with you. Trent Palmer this past year was a guy I felt that way with. Whenever he got the ball on a Friday night, it's like, we could be witnessing some history here tonight. So another reason why maybe it's just you Minnesota guys. There's something magical about you all.
Oh, Trent's a talented kid. So, you know, I'm glad to hear that about him. I'm glad to see that he was able to get drafted this past year.
Though potentially going to be a rival here in the future, coming up with Toronto.
yeah, I know. He'll be up there. He's a talented kid, that's for sure.
Speaking of potential rival, the other side of that is the fact that you're playing with former teammate Austin Hayes. I mean, you've been able to kind of work your way up a little bit with him through the system. Have you played together? I think he might have been at a rehab assignment or something. You guys were together at some point?
Yeah, other than we eventually met up in Frederick, which was our high A. He was rehabbing and stayed there for maybe a week. But other than that, he didn't even give me a chance to catch up. He just got drafted. I got drafted, and like next thing you know, that same summer he's in the big league. So, you know, credit to him. That guy can play. He's a talented kid. He works hard. You know, watching him play is like, it's something special. You know, he's going to be a special kid in this organization, and I'm happy for him. I know a lot of guys are happy for him. You know, no one deserves it more. You know, hardest working guy and probably one of the best teammates I've played with at JU and anywhere else in general. So, you know, it's awesome being able to see and, you know, see what he's gone through and how it, you know, his path up to the big league. So it's been great.
I just hope that some of these balls that he keeps scalding all over the yard start to find some grass at some point, because he is unfortunately very low on batting average on balls in play, considering how hard he is hitting the baseball right now. But still trying to figure that out.
Yeah, a lot of good at-bats put together. So, you know, it's still early. Some of those will fall for sure.
So this situation, and to catch people up, obviously Major League Baseball comes to an agreement, agrees to a 60-game season. It's unique in the scheduling, the amount of games, all this. And with that, there's no minor league baseball this year. So for guys like you, you're sitting there probably wondering, right? Like, well, what does the future hold for me? What point can you take me through kind of the process of you seeing what the majors were going through to the point where you got the call to know that you were going to be part of this secondary squad or this taxi squad, as they're referring to it, that is working out on the side in Bowie?
Yeah, there's a lot of uncertainty when we left camp. I thought maybe it'd be a few weeks, a couple weeks, but, you know, they set us up for a nice 8-week program to keep our arms in shape. And then, you know, week after week is like, oh God, are we even going to go back and play? And, you know, eventually they officially announced the cancellation of the minor league season. And even then I was like, well, could there be something going on in the fall? Who knows? We got to stay in shape. So, you know, I was kind of treating it like I would be in season, just going out there, throwing bullpens, live to hitters in Jacksonville. So, you know, I was just kind of mentally just trying to stay prepared in case I got the call. But, you know, I'm luckily the big league guys are out there playing, and, you know, it's good to see some baseball in the world again.
No doubt about that. What does your day look like in this current version of the baseball that you're kind of living in right now, this baseball world?
Yeah, they got us in a nice hotel here, you know, room to yourself, which is great. And then go to the field, you go through intake testing every day. You do a spit test every other day. So, you know, with the way they're keeping guys socially distanced and, you know, all the available masks and gloves that we need, you know, it's been great to see how they're putting, you know, our health and safety first. And and then, you know, we're still able to focus on the field and get our work in, you know, kind of treating it like a 5-day schedule, 5-day rotation. And, you know, we just work out, get our throwing in, and then head back to the hotel.
Are you thinking any differently now, I mean, than you were maybe last year, or if you were playing, say, in Bowie again this year or in Norfolk, to where, you know, you're a one, you know, a guy sleeping on his arm funny potentially one night away from getting that call up to the bigs?
Yeah, I mean, who knows what could happen. They have a plan, you know, but my biggest thing is just focusing on development and going out here and taking care of business each day, just, you know, just to help me mentally grow and physically, you know, do what I need to do on the mound to take my game to the next level.
You said during the break, during the quarantine, if you will, you're down at Jacksonville working out with some guys, former teammates. I think I actually, Chris LeHay may have called me one day when he was with you while you were throwing. I may have heard you in the background there. But what did you be able to hook up with a bunch of old teammates to get those workouts in?
Yeah, a lot of guys were willing to help keep me in shape. Chris LeHay doing it, you know, going out there and throwing with me one day. Nate Kozlowski, who I was living with, was able to help. And then, you know, we had guys like Connor Maribel, Chris Gallo, who are still playing, and so we were able to all get together and kind of work out. And Connor had a great setup in his backyard. He has a batting cage, and his dad was actually getting behind the plate and catching us, and you know, calling a game to his own son. So, you know, being able to take advantage of that mound in his backyard was great. It's all you need, but it's no baseball field, but it's all we need.
Luke Maribel, former JU standout himself. So nice to see all sorts of generations of Dolphins getting together there.
Yeah, he's still got it. He can still play, I'm sure of it.
That's awesome. When it comes to this program, to the baseball program at Jacksonville University, you said you felt like you definitely made the right choice in coming down a long way from Minnesota to do it. You spend 3 years as part of it, but it's more than that, right? I mean, how much do you still find yourself connected, and in what ways, to this program over the years since you've started your pro journey?
I mean, JU is part of who I am, and, you know, I've built some great relationships through it, and, you know, I consider it my family, my second home, and, you know, I love going back there because, you know, these guys really shaped me to be who I am, and you know, they really did help me grow, and you know, I love that place, and, you know, I can't say enough of great things about it. You know, the coaching staff, Hayes, Drawman when I was there, Mark Guerra, I love that guy. And you know, it really is a family type feel, and, you know, the culture is just, it's something special.
Well, we hope that the growth of the program can continue, and we can continue to see guys like you that have gone on to bigger and better things, continuing to come around. Do you have an alumni weekend story you can share with us real quick before we wrap this up?
Alumni weekend story.
Appropriate for air, of course.
Yeah, I think I remember it was 2019. So it was 2 years ago. It was two alumni events ago. Adam Brett Walker just came out of nowhere. I don't know where he was. He just showed up in like the last inning of the game. And, you know, he's a JU alumni game weekend legend because of how far he can hit the baseball. You know, he always puts on a show, but he shows up in the last inning just out of nowhere. I think he just got his flight came in late or something. And he just goes up. I don't even know if he had cleats on. Didn't swing, didn't do anything. Just walked off the plane, goes up and hits a double. And I was like, what's going on here? It was just fun to see. It was funny. So, but you know, a lot of those guys are great. They love coming back and being able to see all the different generations of Dolphins is, you know, they're awesome. They all love each other and we all have a great time.
Well, this has been a great podcast for the upper Midwest version of JU baseball over the years with you, of course, referencing Trent Palmer and then Adam Brett Walker from Wisconsin himself. So that pipeline, hopefully it continues and some of these big name guys can come down and continue to show out over the course of the next several years.
Yeah, I love it. More guys need to see the beautiful city of Jacksonville. So hopefully they can continue to bring guys down.
Michael Bauman, he is a former JU baseball pitcher. He was the 2015 ASUN Pitcher of the Year, freshman All-American that year as well, third-round draft pick by the Orioles, currently with the Baltimore Taxi Squad in Major League Baseball, awaiting his potential Major League debut at some point during this 2020 season. Mike, thanks, man. Been great catching up with you here today and looking forward to continuing to follow along with all the great things that you're doing.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks again to Michael Bauman for joining me here today on the Clubhouse Chatter Podcast. Man, that was a fun conversation. Love catching up with Big Mike and expect to see some big things coming from him. If not later on this season, then hopefully next season and hopefully another former Dolphin to make his Major League Baseball debut here and we can get another cutout on the wall up there at John Sessions Stadium next to his future teammate, Austin Hayes, former and future teammate, Austin Hayes. Just some bits of news to catch you all up on from the world of JU baseball, and we'll be catching up with head coach Chris Hayes here on an upcoming episode soon, but for those that may have missed it, Jacksonville University Baseball hired Brad Wilkerson as the new assistant and recruiting coordinator. He is a legend in his own right. Wilkerson, who played college baseball at the University of Florida, he went to a couple of CWS went to Omaha a couple times with the Gators and appeared in the CWS College World Series. He's a College Baseball Hall of Famer. He was a standout with USA Baseball, both as a youth coming up and then as well as an Olympian, won a gold medal in the 2000 games in Sydney, and then was an eight-year Major League Baseball vet and was mostly known for his time with the Montreal Expos and then after they relocated to Washington, the Washington Nationals was Rookie of the Year, as voted by the Sporting News with the Expos as well. So a great addition. I know Coach Hayes is really excited about it. I know Coach Wilkerson is excited to be part of it, and we'll be looking forward to hopefully catching up with him coming up in the course of the next couple of months and sharing more of his stories and his philosophies on baseball with you all, the JU baseball family. Also, just coming out on Thursday, July the 30th, the ASUN Baseball All-Decade Team. So check that out up on the website where you can see a couple of Dolphins are featured on that team, including Michael Bauman, the man we just talked to. So fun to see him represented on there. And then on top of that, another guy who was referenced in the podcast, Adam Brett Walker, was in there as well as Angel Camacho. And this is the team was picked by those that had to play at least 2 years in the decade. So that'd be from 2010 to 2019. And then they obtained some individual honors. They were either named Player of the Year, Pitcher of the Year, or were a three-time All-Conference selection a two-time first-team all-conference selection or won multiple superlative awards. So Bauman is the 2015 ASUN Pitcher of the Year, a reason why he was put on the list. Also a two-time all-conference recipient. Angel Camacho, three-time all-academic team selection in his time with the Dolphins from 2016 to 19. He was part of that ASUN regular season title squad in 2017 as a sophomore. He was a four-time player of the week selection and then was a first-team all-conference selection in 2018 and 2019. And then mentioned Adam Brett Walker. He was picked on this team as well. Brett Walker, who played from 2010 to 2012 in the decade, that is. ASUN Player of the Year in 2011. He's the last Dolphin to win that award. He is 20th in ASUN history in home runs hit with 41, 23rd in RBIs with 174 in his career. A pair of first-team all-conference honors as well as a first baseman over that time. Also a second team selection once. And then rounding out the Dolphins on the list, Dan Gulbranson, an outfielder who was drafted. And he was actually a one-time broadcast partner of mine as well a couple of seasons back. Dan joined me on a handful of E-plus and radio broadcasts. He was the first ever Scholar Athlete of the Year in baseball and ASUN history in 2012. He played for the Dolphins in the decade from 2010 to 2012. Three consecutive first-team all-conference honors from 2010 to 2012 and the 2010 Freshman of the Year in his first season. So hats off to those guys, those four, for being recognized as part of the ASUN All-Decade Team. All right, that'll do it for this episode of the Clubhouse Chatter Podcast presented by Hercules Tires. Ride on our strength, Hercules Tires. Again, thank you to my guest here on this week's episode, Michael Bauman. I'm Scott Manzi saying so long. Look forward to sharing some more great JU baseball stories with you next time.